Well, we're going to be looking this morning, finishing out our Distracted series. And if you've been with us for any amount of time, we've been looking in the book of Galatians. We're at the very end of the book of Galatians in chapter 5 and chapter 6. And this morning I've titled this message, Distracted from the One Rule. And there is one rule in Christianity that Galatians talks about. Galatians talks about the existence of the one rule. And, you know, we at Lubbock Bible Church, we like to say and we like to stress, and rightly so, that Christianity is not about rules. It's not about regulations. It's not about thou shalt not. But there is a rule that Galatians talks about, a very interesting rule, I think, that's worth our attention. And we're going to talk about that this morning, beginning in chapter 5. If you want to follow along, we're in Galatians 5, verse 13. It says, "You were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh." So you've seen Braveheart. Braveheart is about freedom. You know, I heard someone recently say that Braveheart is the greatest movie ever made about America. And you say, well, it's not about America. But it is about America. And the reason that it sold millions and millions of tickets and has made so much money, and we return to it again and again, even in our downtime during the holidays, some of you will find yourselves going over to check out Rent Braveheart and watch it yet again. What is it about that movie? There's a passion there. There's a passionate appeal to people, to a group of people, to remain free, to fight for freedom, to do whatever it takes, even if it means loss of lives, to demand freedom. And this is exactly what Paul is saying about our Christian lives, that we deserve freedom, we need to fight for freedom, we need to maintain our freedom, we need to understand, most of all, our freedom, so that we can remain in it by choice. We're called to freedom. It's interesting that religion actually causes the opposite effect. If you have ever found yourself trying to stop something, maybe you've got a stubborn habit that you fight against, and you try to stop that stubborn habit, and you say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a rule so that I can stop this stubborn habit. So you try to resist, and you have your rule in place, or maybe it's your New Year's resolution. You know, that's coming up soon. And so you set this resolution, you set this rule, and you fight against it, and you struggle against it, and you seek to obey, obey, obey. And ultimately, what you end up trying to do is obey the rule. Now, Galatians is going to tell us today that we need to obey the truth, but not to obey a rule. There's a difference there. Obeying the truth is about my belief system. Obeying a rule is about an external standard that I'm trying to live up to. Do you obey a rule or do you obey the truth? You see that we're our calling here. Our calling is a brave-hearted calling. We are called to step outside the city walls of religion and to join Jesus where he was crucified, on a hill among the carcasses that were burning next door. Not a glamorous crucifixion, not a glamorous sacrifice, not a death that took place within the city walls, within the temple walls, not done for religious purposes, but outside the city gates, Jesus Christ was crucified, and we're invited to go outside the gate and join him in freedom, not in religion. You were called to freedom. Don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. Now, the obvious question is, could you just go out and have a flesh fest? What does that mean? Well, just entertain and enjoy and seek to obtain every desire of the flesh out there. Well, I guess you could, and Corinthians even talks about a man who does. You know the story, the guy who pursues sexual fulfillment in an unnatural way, and Paul says, well, let him go. We've told him he's going to just destroy himself, and that's exactly what he's going to do. He can destroy his flesh, but his spirit will be preserved. And so what we see right there in that small snapshot of a person's life is we see the reality of the gospel. You can do it, and it'll hurt. You can do it, and you'll still have your spirit preserved. But who wants that life? Who wants that life? And do you really think that's the best life? Do you really think that's the way to go? Do you really think that's healthy and fulfilling as a Christian? You were called to freedom, but don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. So we got it's like a table that is set before us, and there's one table over here that is the most incredible food you've ever tasted. You know, Kegels. You know what I'm saying? You've been out to Kegels? You go out there, and I mean, that is probably the best steak I've ever had in my life. And no, I don't get a cut from their profits. But I'm telling you, that is a fine, fine steak with all the right seasonings. It's over here. Now, over here, you're being offered another table, the table of the world, the table of the flesh, the table of the devil, the table of enticement. But somehow, once you bite into it, once you swallow it, you begin to get that food poisoning feeling, that slight nausea, followed by that stress, followed by all the effects of getting sick. And so, can you eat it? Yes, but it's going to make you ill. It's going to make you ill. And why would you eat it in light of some of the finest steak you could ever enjoy on the planet? Do you see the wide open tables, the tables that we're invited to? One is an invitation from the world, and one is an invitation from God himself. And it really is a free-for-all. You really are free to choose. You really are free to just go destroy your life. Just go have a ball destroying your life. Or have a ball in genuine fulfillment as we depend on Jesus for our character, for our words, for our responses, for our reactions, for our life. We were called to freedom, but here's some solid advice from somebody who knows. Don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Christianity is so simple, and Moses is so complicated. Moses is 500 and some rules, a couple hundred of things that we're not supposed to do, and then a couple hundred things that we are supposed to do add up to more than 500 things to do and don't do under the law of Moses. Moses is complicated and Jesus is simple. Fortunately, you happen to be born in a time in human history when things are now simple for you and me. Love covers a multitude of sins. The whole law is fulfilled in love your God, love your neighbor. Simple, simple, simple. But, again, we can bite and devour each other. We can consume each other. That's a choice. It's a silly choice. It's a pointless choice, but it's there. And here's the advice, don't do it. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. I want you to imagine you in a scenario where you're struggling with that stubborn habit, whatever it is. You know what it is. Everybody has a stubborn habit, whether it's that pesky critical spirit that you can't seem to get under control as you make sarcastic comments and rip into people. Or whether it's some kind of a lust thing that you constantly battle as a guy. Or whether it's that talking about people, spreading rumors, you can't seem to control your tongue. You know what it is. Whatever that habit is that you struggle with, look at what he's saying here. He's saying, don't run around town saying, I better not, I should not, I gotta not, I gotta not. I gotta try to stop thinking about it, try to stop doing it. Lord, I just pray that I wouldn't. I pray that I wouldn't. I pray that I wouldn't. Do you see what that is? That is a sin focus. I'm trying not to sin, and that's the goal of my life. I got news for us. The goal of the Christian life is not to avoid sin. The goal of the Christian life is not to avoid sin. The goal of the Christian life is to know Jesus Christ. And if we walk by the Spirit, meaning if we are in relationship with him, getting to know him, we won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. Is your focus a sin focus, or is your focus a Jesus focus? The goal of the Christian life is not to stay away from sin. The goal of the Christian life is to know him. Now, the flesh is our enemy. The flesh, and notice that it's not my flesh. I don't own it. I don't claim it. It's not my identity. I don't say I am the flesh. But instead, the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Now, let me tell you how I misinterpreted this verse for like a decade. For like a decade, I thought, well, what I please to do is sin, but the Spirit won't let me. You see that? I was looking at this verse with the glasses of, I am sinful, I am evil, I am dirty, I want to sin, but the Spirit's trying to keep me from it. And that's how a lot of Christians live life. We live life like God is good, God is great, I am horrible, I'm a dirty worm, and He's trying to control me. So I need to be controlled. I need to be overridden because I am wrong and He is right. I want you to consider another interpretation of this verse, having put on your new creation glasses, having put on your new identity glasses, having put on the fact that your old self has died and you are now in Christ, seated in heavenly places, right snug up next to God the Father. What is this verse really saying? It's saying, watch out for the flesh, because it will keep Christians from doing what they please. Christians are pleased to live in dependency on Christ. You want to be pleased? You want to do what actually pleases you? It's walking by the Spirit. That's what pleases. It's weird that God has the market cornered on my fulfillment. God has the market cornered on my fulfillment. There is one product that works for me, and that is walking in dependency on Jesus. And that is so foreign and so alien to the world. No, go get it done your way. Protect yourself. Guard yourself. Look out for you and yours. Get her done, as we say in Texas. So that you may not do the things that you please, the flesh seeks to have you panic. The flesh seeks to have you look out. Look out for number one. Protect yourself. Avoid pain. But if you're led by the Spirit, what does He say? You are not under the law. Now, can you get any clearer than this? You can have 25 books and 25 tapes, and you can go on and on and on debating the role of the Mosaic law in your lives, or we can read this passage. And it says, Jesus is enough. We're not led by the law. We're not led by 500 plus things. We're not led by rules. We're not led by regulations. We are led by a living relationship with a person, the very person that you celebrate this Christmas. It's great to have a nativity scene and to have baby Jesus lying in the manger. But I tell you what's even greater is to have the living, resurrected Christ Jesus living in you. No longer in a manger, no longer in a stable, no longer celebrated merely as a child who then lived for 33 years, but the living Christ living inside of you, literally, so that you and I don't need 500, 600 things to try to get right with God by. Moses is incompatible with Jesus. Living by Moses is incompatible with living by Jesus who now dwells in us. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, some people say I'm an intellectual, so you know what that means for me? I need to read this slower. You are not under the law. What relationship should I have with the law? None. I died to it. I died to the law. We're dead to the law so that we might live for God. How do we live for God? By being dead to the law. Read it slower. Well, let's skip forward to verse 22. You know the list. You know why Jesus is enough. Here's why Jesus is enough, because Jesus is awesome. He's consistent. He's living the Christian life. You know, before the earth was formed, He was living the Christian life. Jesus, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, they've got this Christian life thing figured out. In fact, there's a little secret. It's them. The Christian life is God's character. And so God implants His character within us through the Holy Spirit. He implants His character within us. And then He says, here's what I'm going to do. I'll give you a list, because you people, we need a list. I'll give you a list of what I'm up to. And then you just trust in me, kind of like a marriage here. You just trust in my faithfulness. You just trust in me. Depend on me. And be faithful to me by only trusting in me. And I'll show you what I'm up to. And here's what I'm up to. I will love people through you. I will give you something to celebrate so that you have joy. I will actually give you a truth that is real and that is fun and that has no fly in the ointment to ruin it. I'll take away all your sins. I will make you absolutely acceptable to me. I will join myself in perfect union with you. I will be 100% close to you, and I will not measure you. I will not make you live up to a standard. I will not reject you in any way. I will be faithful to you no matter what. I'll never leave you. And so you'll have something to celebrate. You'll have peace with me. You'll have joy. You'll have patience, because that's who I am. I'll be kind to people. I'll be good to people. I will be faithful to people. I'll be gentle. I can control you even when you can't. And then look what he says. He says, you got a problem with me? That's what he's saying. You got a problem with me? You don't trust me? You don't think that the God of the universe, his character is sufficient? You got a problem with me? You're going to go back to Moses after meeting me? Against my character, there is no law. My character is sufficient. Who I am is enough for you. Against such things, there is no law. See what he's saying? He's saying, don't cheat on me with religion. You don't need religion. Don't cheat on me. I'm enough for you. Now, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I thought we still struggle with the flesh. Yeah. This is not a God surgery. Notice who did the crucifying here? We did. When you come to Christ, you say, I choose to be cut off from this way. Yeah, I'll struggle with it. But I choose to be cut off from this way. I've crucified it. It works for some people. They relish it. They love it. They crave it. They live in it. They're good at it. They're strategizing and manipulating. And they are masters at it, some people. But every time I delve into that realm, it hurts. Why? Because I'm weird. I'm an alien in this world. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, only one logical conclusion, let's walk by him. He's our life. The flesh is not our life. The enemy's not our life. Jesus is your life. Now, let's put yourself in a situation. Jesus is your life. And let's say you're in the university, and Jesus is your life. And so you start feeling the peer pressure, the pressure of doing what the other university kids are doing. And so, it's cool to do this and it's cool to do that. And so you feel the pressure from the outside. The world is saying, this is it, man. This is the ultimate fulfillment and the fun, and this is your time. And you just go out and enjoy and enjoy and enjoy. And then for some reason, when you seek to enjoy, then there's this hatred inside. You start to feel like two people. And so you've got this split civil war going on. You got this tug of war, and you got this fight. And you can't figure out, why does everybody else seem to be okay, and I've got this tug of war going on. You're in the workplace. You're 45 years old. And there's some kind of opportunity to cut around a corner, to skip something and be a bit dishonest, to be a bit shady. And so you choose what feels like the easy way. But then suddenly the easy way starts eating at you, and it starts feeling like, gosh, I think I chose the hard way because I can't get away from this. And so there's this civil war and there's this struggle. Now, you name it, you've felt it. You know what I'm talking about. It might not be something that I mentioned, but you have felt the weirdness, the tug of war, the civil war. It feels like there's a good you and a bad you, and you can't figure it out, and confusion enters in. And how do I get free? And how do I remedy this situation? And God, I'm sorry, doesn't seem to fix it. And the only thing that seems to fix it ever is getting the heck away from that situation, turning from it, and acting differently. It's the only thing that actually works, no matter how sorry you say you are. Why is that the only thing that fixes it? Because Jesus is your life. It's not a religion thing, but you're stuck. You are married to Jesus, and he'll never divorce you. You are married and joined spiritually to Jesus Christ, and it's real, and you can prove it one way or the other. You can prove it through suffering in sin, or you can prove it through breaking free from sin and depending on Him. Either way, we're going to prove it. We're weird. We're aliens. We're joined to Christ. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Skipping forward to verse 12 of chapter 6 as we finish out today, he says, you know, there's people that will get you sucked into religion. I call religion the liposuction. It just sucks the life out of you, right? I love that image, don't you? Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh, they try to compel you to be circumcised so that they will not be persecuted. Why do people want to just marry a little bit of Moses with a little bit of Jesus? And can't we all just be happy? Can't we all be brothers? I mean, let's get all the denominations together and let's all work this out. Okay, a little bit of Moses to oversee us, and then some grace over here. We'll have some grace awakening, and then we'll have some, Sabbath, and then we'll have some tithing obligations, and then we'll have some love, and let's just make a pot, and let's all just be friends. See, and then we wouldn't have divisions, and we wouldn't have arguments, and then we wouldn't have debates, and we wouldn't have struggle, and we wouldn't have these divisions in the church. And that's exactly what was going on 2,000 years ago. People were avoiding the truth and the simplicity of the gospel to make the waves go away, so that there'd be some kind of at least appearance of outer peace. No divisions, no arguments. Guess what? The New Testament creates arguments for the flesh. The New Testament creates arguments for the church. The New Testament stirs people up. Because as humans, we're not getting it. And Paul is saying, this thing is awesome. You got to get it. You got to get this thing. They want to make a good showing. They try to compel you to be Jewish. Try to compel you to be circumcised. Simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. You're teaching just the cross? Oh, come on, you need super Christianity. Let me add on to that. I can fix your situation. For those who are circumcised, look what it says. They don't even keep the law themselves. Hypocrites, man. I mean, anybody that tells you, you got to do this, guess what? You're going to find a day in their lives, a week, a year in their lives, when they don't even do it themselves. And so religion is a control mechanism. People seek to control us by saying, look what I'm doing, and you got to do what I'm doing. For those who are circumcised, they don't even do it themselves. They don't keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so they can say, oh, look who I'm discipling. And see, we do that today. We do that. We say, well, I'm discipling this person and this person and this person. And guess what that then does? Well, you've just portrayed yourself as the grand master. And you are discipling this person and discipling that person. And we can use that as a way of boasting. People, we Christians, we say we're going to heaven by grace. We say God accepts us no matter what. And then we proceed to tell people how our quiet times are going. Then we proceed to tell people who we're discipling. Then we proceed to tell how much we're giving. Then we proceed to tell how dedicated we are and how often we're in the church building. And then we proceed to tell that we went on visitation. And we proceed to tell on and on and on what we're volunteering for. And Jesus is saying, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. I mean, why are we telling? We desire people to boast. And so we want people to brag and boast about us. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Now, we're getting ready to finish. I told you there was a rule. Do you remember at the beginning? I told you there was a rule. There was one rule for Christianity. It's coming up. In just a couple of verses, the rule is coming up. But I want you to see what he's teaching. He says, nothing but the cross. We've been cut away from the world. It won't work for us. We're different. We're in Christ. We're not in the world. We're in the Spirit. We're not in the flesh. Through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither is circumcision anything. nor uncircumcision. You know what that means? I'm a Messianic Jew, so what? I'm a Messianic Gentile, so what? There's neither Jew nor Gentile. We're all one in Christ. Well, but we study the feasts and we celebrate the feasts so we can experience a greater Christian. So what? Circumcision, Judaism is nothing. Circumcision is not anything, nor uncircumcision. None of it's relevant at all. There's only one thing that matters. What is it? A new creation. A new creation? Boy, that sounds like a recent trend in Christianity, a popular series of books and movements and ministries to focus on identity in Christ, identity in Christ, a new creation. That's just some trendy focus in Christianity. No, it's 2,000 years old, and he says, knowing who you are as a new creation is the only thing that matters. Law doesn't matter. Religion doesn't matter. Rules doesn't matter. Judaism doesn't matter. There's one thing that matters, a new creation. And here it is. What does he say about a new creation? He says, and those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Not the geographic Israel, not Israel the country, not the nation, but Israel the church, the Israel of God. What rule should we walk by? Do you know who you are? What rule should we walk by? Freedom from Moses, freedom from religion, freedom from rules, getting to know him, walking by the Spirit, and knowing who you are. Do you remember I said you're an alien? I put you in the middle of a situation, and I said, look at this tug of war that's going on, and why doesn't it happen to your friends? Why do they get along just fine? Because you are stuck with a choice. Will I walk by this rule? Will I walk by the rule of a new creation? Do I know who I am? Have I realized how different I am at the very core of my being? What did we see today? Are you distracted? What's the solution? Avoid religion like the plague. Stay away from it. Somebody says you gotta, you better run for the hills. That's what I advise you. They say you gotta, you better, you have to. Run for the hills, because I tell you, that's very similar to thou shalt not. Avoid hypocrisy. Somebody says you gotta, all you need to do is either interview their wife or watch them a few months. Keep it simple. Keep it Jesus. Distracted, final question for us this morning. What rule do you walk by? He says one rule matters, and that rule is, do you know you're a new creation? And do you know how that plays out when it comes to tax time? Do you know how that plays out when it comes to lust? Do you know how that plays out when it comes to gossip? Do you know how that plays out when it comes to behavior? Do you know how that plays out when it comes to loving people? We got one rule to walk by. Boy, it's simple. But boy, it's hard because we're distracted. Let's pray together. Father, we acknowledge that your gospel is, you've made it as easy as possible. You say from beginning to end, it's free. Forgiveness is free. Freedom from the law is free. Your very presence, this marriage to Jesus, is free. And we can get distracted. We get distracted by slick talk. We get distracted by powerful movements. Doesn't matter how powerful the movement is if it's wrong. Father, we pray that you'd give us discernment, the wisdom to see. We lack wisdom. We're asking for it. We want to know the simplicity of Jesus. We want to know the simplicity of walking by the Spirit. We don't want to be fighting sin the rest of our lives. We want to be getting to know you. Father, we thank you that you take care of our character, that against you there is no law, that Jesus is enough. In his name we pray. Amen.